What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Rantpocalypse Talks Game of Thrones. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly, and we are a mother and son video game, TV watching duo, and a lot of talk.
Yeah, lots and lots of chit-chats, lots of discussions, and we're definitely going to get into a whole lot of discussions. For this particular episode, we're going to be chatting about Game of Thrones, Season 7, Episode 4, The Spoils of War. Man, what a fantastic freaking episode. I was so excited to get to talk to you about this episode. We've got our normal topics that we're going to run through. We've got some, I think, some juicy topics for this review discussion. Number one, is Jaime dead? Dun, dun, dun. Topic number two, who are you rooting for in the battle between Jaime and Daenerys? Topic number three, Daenerys. Is that going to go down on the show? And we'll leave it for you guys to interpret what Daenerys is. We'll discuss it a little bit later. Topic number four, did Dany just bitch slap Cersei's rule over Westeros? But before we get into those topics, and we may bleed into a little bit of those topics with the episode synopsis, but I wanted to get into that. In this episode, the Lannisters paid their debts, because as we know, the Lannisters always pay their debts.
Mm-hmm.
Daenerys weighs her options, and Arya comes home. We get a yet another Stark reunion with two Stark reunions in this episode.
Yeah. And who would have ever thought that that many Starks would have survived? You know, I mean, because it looked like for a really long time that that wasn't going to be the case at all. And they are not happy to see each other. I mean, this family's like, oh, yeah, I thought you were dead. Yay, you're not. You know, I mean, it just seems like they're not as happy as I would have thought.
But I totally understand it, though. I think that the Sansa and Arya reunion was perfect to me. I thought it was exactly as it should be. Yeah, the reason why I say that it was perfect is because they never liked each other all that much in the happier times. I mean, they were constantly bickering with one another. Sansa was not a big Arya fan. Arya was, you know, not a really big fan of Sansa as well. So I thought it was perfect. Like they were happy to see one another, but they were still kind of reserved, as they should be, because for one, the last time that Arya saw Sansa, she was up there on the stage as Ned was being beheaded, and right there along with Joffrey. I mean, I'm not going to blame Sansa for what happened. You know, Sansa thought that she was doing the what she needed to do in order to save her father, but how she basically made Ned come out and say that that he was lying and that Joffrey was the true heir and all that kind of stuff. And that was more or less because Sansa had somewhat coaxed him into saying that in order to protect him. I think Varys is the one that came out and was like, you know, I understand you've got honor and you've got all this pride and everything, but how is that going to help your children? And that was like the final nail in the coffin that made Ned be like, okay, I've got to do this for Sansa. I've got to do this for Arya and everything. But yeah, that's the last time that that Arya saw her. And so, of course, they don't know anything about all the trials and tribulations that both of them have been through. Yes, you know, it is crazy when you think about it. Like, every one of these reunions is just like, well, damn, you're back. Ugh, I guess it's good to see you.
I know.
But I
don't know.
Good.
I thought it was a little lackluster, just in my opinion. I don't care. Teenage girls, young girls, they typically, I mean, they're not going to get along when they're growing up. But still, I mean, just this sister that you thought was dead, I felt like there should have been a little bit more to it. And when Arya asks Sansa, do I have to call you at Lady Stark or Lady Sansa, whatever the crap she said, and she's like, yes. I'm like, oh, jeez. You know.
See, it's great, though, that you feel that way, because I feel the exact opposite. I love that moment whenever Arya whenever Arya says, do I have to call you Lady Stark now? And she said yes. I thought that was great, because that's exactly how it would have been in the past. Like they really picked up right where they left off, and you know, which I loved. I thought it was perfect.
It would have been nice for them to have grown a little bit, in my opinion.
I mean, I think they did grow.
Okay.
They were happy to see one another, but they were completely different. Like, they're drastically different people at this point,
Yeah.
and they're like these super hardened people. I saw a lot of people saying that that Sansa admired Arya's skills, that she was, I guess, into the fact that Arya had become this like badass warrior and everything. For me,
Wow, it
I
didn't
felt
seem that way to
yeah, I felt the
me.
opposite of that. I felt like
Yeah.
Sansa was a little bit jealous that Arya, she's been lost for so long and basically left out there, left out on her own, and she came back this like ultimate badass. And Sansa, this entire time, she's just been gone. She's gone through horrible situation after horrible situation. She's definitely had it the worst of all the Starks, in my opinion. I mean, I know Jon, obviously, he got killed, so it's a little bit difficult to say that he hasn't had it the worst. And the fact that Rob died and Rickon died, and saying that they didn't get it the worst, but I mean, Sansa just—I mean, she went through some horrible, horrible stuff. And it's not that she's not stronger now, but she still can't fend for herself, right? For the most part, she couldn't go out like and be in battle like Arya can. So I felt like a twinge of jealousy there on Sansa's part. I liked everything about the reunion, but I can totally get, I think, a lot where a lot of people are like yourself are like, what the hell? Like, why are you guys not more happy to see one
Yeah.
another? You should be super elated that you're finally getting this reunion. But for me, it was, I thought it was perfect. They were happy to see each other, but they also still seemed somewhat distant, as I think
Yeah.
that they should have felt in
Yeah.
that moment. But what did you
And
think?
speaking of reunions, to me,
Yeah.
the whole Bran, I'm just not a fan of how his character has changed. I mean,
Yeah.
he's so he has no emotion, and that's bothering me. He was a cool kid. He was fun. I
Yeah.
loved him as a kid. Now he's just I'm not loving it.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are loving it right now. But I don't know, he's the Three-Eyed Raven anymore.
Yes,
That, like,
he's
whenever,
not a Stark anymore.
yeah, whenever he spoke to Mira, and Mira said that you died in that cave, he did. He ultimately did die in that cave because, yeah, he's no longer Brandon Stark. He's,
Right.
as he tells Littlefinger, I'm not Lord Stark. And I think he says it to other people too, basically the entire time. He's like, that's not me anymore. I'm not that person. And it is weird, and that's, I think it's even weirder because they really never, I thought, did his character as much justice as I would have liked to have seen. Kind of like with Arya and her like badass fight with Brienne, which was freaking fantastic. That was so amazing to see. But at the same on the like on the same side of things, I'm thinking, how did she become that badass? Which I understand, like, we saw her train many, many times, but it was kind of like that fast forward training. Same thing with Bran. Like, Bran was normal, normal, normal until he was just not normal anymore all of a sudden, which is
Like
kind
last week, 2 weeks ago, something like
of,
that.
he wasn't normal then. Well, the last time I felt like he was normal was whenever he, oh man, I'm forgetting his name right now. The Stark that turned into one of the Whites but is still good, the Ranger. Why can I not think of his name? They went looking for him
Yeah,
forever.
it also starts with a B. Oh,
Yeah,
jeez.
whatever. I'm blanking on his name right now.
Uncle Benjen. Uncle
Benjen, yeah,
Benjen.
Benjen, yeah, Benjen Stark.
Don't try to make it sound like you go Benjen.
No,
Like
no,
I'm
no,
not
no. I'm just, I'm confirming.
confirming.
Like, yo, yeah, good, good. You remembered. Nice job, Mom, on remembering the name. Yeah, no. So that's the last time I remember him being somewhat Bran-like. Was whenever they had that reunion between Benjen and Bran. I thought that was a nice, touching moment for Bran. And ever since then, that whenever we've seen him on screen, it's just been kind of like he's very cold.
Get it? He's overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you can see and know everything,
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of stuff coming into your brain all at once, and he hasn't learned to filter it out yet. So I get that. It's just I don't know. When his friend, the chick that has basically saved his life, and helped carry him around forever for how many seasons now, decides that she's gonna leave, and he's just kind of like, laters, you know, just I just wish he had a little bit more emotion, that's all.
I understand, and that's I thought it was fitting that she was super pissed off. She's been the only one that has really been like, "F you, man. You know, all that I did for you, and this is how you're gonna treat me. This is how you're gonna say goodbye is nope, don't need you anymore. I'm good now." Yeah, no, I definitely think that would really piss me off. And I love whenever Sansa is out there when Arya's having her reunion with Bran, and they kind of both they both looked at each other, and you know they were. They basically like they kind of confirmed with one another like, man, this dude is he's off his rocker now. Like I don't know how to
He's going
really
to be the
talk to him.
special one in our family.
Yes, he's definitely the special one at this point. But I'm just for me, I can't wait to see what Bran does in the future because you know now that he can see everything and we see him give the cat's paw dagger to Arya in this episode, and Littlefinger had given that to Bran earlier in the episode.
What a butt-kissing move on Littlefinger's part. His whole speech of you know, I couldn't be there for Catelyn, but I want to be there to protect her children. I'm like, they don't need your protection, dude. Look where they've come. And you had nothing to do with it.
No, I don't know what Littlefinger's end game is at this point, but I'm loving. Well, actually, I would have to say I'm not loving his part, but like I'm loving the like the whole mind games of with the audience that the show's playing because it's like why would Littlefinger still be there? Obviously, whenever he met with Bran, I think he was filling Bran out to see like, okay, who is this guy now? Like, you know, what exactly does he know? Because I'm sure Sansa probably confided in Littlefinger somewhat about the whole weird and wonky interactions with Bran. So I feel like he kind of wanted to see for himself. And whenever Bran said, "Chaos is a ladder," and you know, man, Littlefinger's eyes lit up like, "Oh shit, my ass is grass. I've got to leave this place now." And that's what I don't understand. It's like, why does he not leave? Like, I would be hightailing it out of there because the Knights of the Vale, they're not gonna be there for your ass. Like that, no way, man. He is gonna. It's no good things are gonna come if he sticks around up there in Winterfell. And the fact that he gave Bran that cat's paw dagger, and then Bran gives the cat's paw dagger over to Arya, and I feel like we've got like a Chekhov's gun situation with that freaking dagger. And at this point, I feel like that's going to be the end of Littlefinger because when you think back, that's the same dagger that he held up to Ned's throat whenever he betrayed him. So I don't know. That's kind of annoying if that actually happens because I feel like that's way too predictable for Game of Thrones for that to go down for Arya to be the one that takes out Littlefinger with the cat's paw dagger. I just feel like that if that does happen, because I feel like that they're really like shoving that down our throats at this point. That I'm gonna kind of be a little bit disappointed, I guess. I guess it could be epic to see, but I feel like that maybe that's a little bit too predictable.
I do kind of hate the idea of Arya being the one to get all the sweet revenge. And so far, she's got the best of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the only sweet revenge Sansa got was with terrible guy Ramsay Bolton last season. I mean that was pretty good. That was pretty satisfying, I think, for Sansa. Jon, I don't think Jon will ever get, you know, he hung all of the people that basically the linchpins of who murdered him, but he didn't do it with any pleasure. Like that wasn't there was no satisfaction from
No,
hanging them, and I don't think
that's not his personality.
no, it isn't
Revenge is
his
not his thing.
no. I mean, Littlefinger's not on Arya's kill list, but the only reason why he's not on Arya's kill list is because she's only going with like with the logical choices of people that she saw firsthand have a hand in you know in Ned's death and everything. If she finds out, in which obviously Bran has these visions, and that's kind of what I keep waiting for, you know, Bran to be like, Well, you know,
Okay, come here.
guys.
Come here. Sit down with me. I got some stories to tell you. And okay, and so because he has this superpower, does it not ruin everything for the show? I mean, because he knows everything. So, I mean, we could actually have this all wrap up by next week.
Well, he knows all the past. He doesn't know the
Yeah.
future. Like, I think he may have visions of, I think he can see things happening, but even then, I don't know if his visions, if they consist of visions of the future. I feel like they
Yeah.
have anything like the present, the past. Maybe I'm wrong about that. And I think that's why they probably don't use it that often on the show, is because, yeah, like, I mean, right now, like, the whole tension with Littlefinger being there, him having the conversations with Bran, the look that Arya gave Littlefinger after she fought with Brienne. I mean, she gave him the, like, I will slit your throat and I will, I'm gonna laugh maniacally as I do it. So I feel like that, yeah, they kind of downplay Bran, his power, a little bit on the show because of that, because I think, yeah, it would kind of ruin things if he did it all the time. But it also kind of, like, it's a little bit maddening too, because he's the one that holds the secret of Jon being a Targaryen,
Yeah.
and I'm like, dang it, we got that last season and we still haven't, like,
I
gone
know.
anywhere with that. But I mean, all in good time, it will happen.
Okay, kind of brings up the whole question of, I'm sorry, I'm going to skip to number three. The whole shipping of Danny and John, are they leading us down this path? Because I know there's a lot of people that don't. They're not excited about the idea of John and Danny together. Those are the people that I think, especially that are book readers, that have an idea of the fact that they're related. And then there's the rest of us that go, "Oh my God, but they're so cute." And they're both just these amazing leaders that bragged about the right age. I don't know. I feel like they set us up a lot in this episode to make us feel like that is where things are headed towards a relationship. And so now I feel like we're going to quickly have that dashed. Like John's going to find out who he really is, like next week.
I think that the writers have been purposefully doing this. Like, they're definitely, the writers are shipping John and Danny super mega hard on the show. But I feel the same way as you. Like, I feel like it's just not gonna happen. Like, I definitely feel like all of a sudden, we're gonna find out from Bran. Bran's gonna meet up with Jon event finally and say, "Oh yeah, by the way, you're dead. He's Rhaegar Targaryen. Yeah, that's your she's
That's
your
your
aunt.
aunt.
Yeah, that's
That's
Auntie
your
over there."
aunt.
But no, I mean, I definitely feel like, having only read, I think, up to like book 3.5. That's all I've ever read of Game of Thrones. So obviously, I would have never got into this part of the story anyway. So I don't have any book knowledge or anything. But the heat is there. There's like some major heat, and I love when Ser Davos said, he's like, "A good heart. I noticed you staring at her good heart," and I'm just like, I started cracking up so hard about that.
I feel like Davos is getting all the really good lines in the show,
He's getting a
and
lot of really good ones this
he
season.
is. I mean, his. I don't know. I mean, I love him so much this season, and I think he has a huge crush on Missandei.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think he'd be like, he would take her boy out really quickly. Like, there's no doubt about it. I think he wants to get him some Masande. What does he always say? Like, wherever she's from, but he always goes to that every time, and he's like, Masande, or
Noth,
yeah,
Noth, or
Noth, or something like that. Yeah, No, they're totally shipping the crap out of them. You know, whenever John takes Danny down to the caves at Dragonstone, and for some reason they totally riffed off of the Jurassic Park theme. I don't know if you noticed that,
I didn't notice it.
but we know whenever they're like they're coming, they finally like you know Dr. I think it's Ian Sadler. You know they're getting there to Jurassic Park and. Dr. Hammond's is taking them on the Jeep tour, and they get up to the Brontosaurus, so that's the first dinosaurs they see, and it's like da na 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 da na. Yeah, I can't do the
No,
theme,
that's
but
good. That's pretty
it's
good.
good. But yeah, I was like, what the crap? They're, you know, as he's leading her down there, that I felt like they were about to go into the Jurassic Park theme music, and yeah, whenever it
When they
was.
came out, they looked like they were holding hands to
It,
me.
they did look like they're holding hands, and you know the whole time John, you know, he's like taking her down there, and he's like, I've got something to show you, and you know he shows her the
She's
first
like,
thing, yeah,
oh
he's
yeah.
like,
Oh,
Bochka
this.
bow wow, it's going
Yeah.
down, yeah, not only that, but did you see the look whenever he first came out of the cave, and you know because Missandei and Danny they're all like gossiping about like you know what went down between Missandei, why Grey Worm, Missandei and Grey Worm.
Grey Worm.
Yeah, you know, that she's like, lots of things happened. All the things happened. And, you know, Danny's like, oh, tell me, you know, she's like, all the things? And as soon as John walks out of that cave, you know, the glance that they gave one another, like, you know.
Did all the things happen?
Yeah, well, Missandei's like, oh, yeah, break you some off of that, Jon Snow, looking good. Yeah, I definitely felt the same way that the heat and tension is there. Not really I guess the sexual tension is definitely there between those two characters. I felt like you know John was gonna lead her down there and you know do some like dirty showings to her instead of like showing her off like all the drawings that the children
Okay, so I do you feel like John snuck down there the night before and drew those on there just to prove a point?
Just got so those were like Jon Snow specials, a JS sign everywhere. Yeah, no, I those drawings they were a little bit much, not gonna lie. Like, I mean, I liked where it led to, except for again, that's like another time where I'm like, Danny, damn, you see the dude is telling you all about the Night King, these White Walkers, this like army of the undead, and literally, you know, he pulls up like this whole like huge drawing of all these things, and you're still telling him to bend the knee because she's like, I will fight for you, John. I
I
will fight
know.
with you, but your ass better bend the knee. And I'm just like, really, really,
Yeah.
you're still on this one. You're losing all the time, and you're asking other folks to bend the knee.
I know.
But I mean, it did. Those drawings were a little bit awkward, and they were a little bit. It was just a little bit too convenient that he goes down
I
there
thought
into
they were
Dragonstone.
super convenient, and they were just like on the nose, you know? I'm
Yeah,
like,
I
damn, they
know.
hadn't changed at all. They look exactly the same.
Yeah, like the White Walkers and like the Night King. You know, the Night King had like the blue in his eyes
They
and
had these,
everything.
where'd they get the blue chalk?
I don't know where they got the blue chalk, but. Man, people were a lot more handy back in the day, like using, like finding some blue chalk. I'm like, well, if I can't go to like Walmart or Target and buy colored chalk, well, I'm done. It's just gonna be like your boring white chalk that I'm gonna use. So, no, I'm complete with you on Jaenerys being shipped on the show. I don't really want that. But okay, I don't know who if I was talking to you about this or what, and this is like a completely asinine, stupid theory. And it's not really a theory, it's just like I think I was either talking to you or my girlfriend about it. Because you know, the book series, it's A Song of Ice and Fire. And so whenever John and Danny they get together, we've got ice, we've got fire, with you know, with the dragons and the fact that John's from the north, obviously. And they are shipping Daenerys really hard. Like it's yeah. And I got to thinking, like, this is kind of like a two-part thing, I guess, because the first part, really quickly. So Sam, We saw in a couple episodes past, whenever the Maester was, wanting him to write the story and help write the story of what's going down right now, the War of the Five Kings and everything. And some people have theorized that Samwell is actually he's the narrator of this whole entire Game of Thrones story, and he'll be like this old man and writing the history of Jon Snow and Daenerys Targaryen and Stannis and all these different players. So picture that, so we've got Samwell writing the story, and we've got Daenerys being shipped, A Song of Ice and Fire. This would be, I'm not advocating for this, and I would be like, holy crap, this is probably the worst writing I've ever seen. But what if like the Song of Ice and Fire was like their union, and it's like their son or daughter that was the one that was like the ice and the fire coming together. So say like right now, like the Night King and the Whites and the White Walkers totally destroy everybody. Like, they kill Jon, they kill Daenerys, they kill every, like basically all is lost for Westeros. And it's down like to their child that, that's he's is it the what is the Lightbringer? I forget what the Azor Ahai, Azor Ahai basically. So yeah, that was my like way wild out there. Like I started thinking about this as I was watching the episode last night, and I was talking to my girlfriend about it. I was like, please God, do not do that. Please God, that better not happen.
I don't think it will, just because we know we have a limited amount of time
But think about
left.
that. You could get a time jump. I mean, good
That's
Lord, the fast travel is like in full effect this
That's
season. Like,
true. That's
holy
true.
shit. Like, everybody's got like light speed travel at this point. I mean,
I
Jamie and Bronn, they start out the episode at Highgarden, and so they're the gold's at Highgarden with them because Jamie pays Bronn there with the gold.
Exactly. And then they're right outside the gates, basically, of King's Landing.
Well, I don't know where
Well,
they're.
not
No,
quite.
they're not. I don't think they're anywhere close. But the fact that,
But the gold was.
the gold made it to King's Landing all of a sudden. Like all the gold, even the one that I think that Jaime was getting, giving the gold over to Bronn. Arya, holy crap! How do you make it from freaking like, she's in Braavos and all these other places. She makes it to Winterfell like that. You go back to season one. How long did it freaking take Ned? And and everybody to get from Winterfell down to King's Landing, it was like a whole season. It was like a freaking season that
I
it took them to
know.
get there.
I know.
And then yeah, like Dany and the Dothraki, like what the hell? What the hell's up with that? Like they, all of a sudden they're there.
Danny, yes, because she's flying on a
Yeah, she's got
dragon.
the dragon, but the Dothraki, they got to get in their ships. And then they, well, actually,
Horseback, I
I
mean,
guess
it's
they don't have
just.
to get in their ships. I was gonna pull up a map. Of freaking Westeros,
See how far it was.
yeah. The problem is with these maps, man. They are like really hard to look at. So, like, there's no good map to me that just like is like very plain and. Oh wait, okay. So, Dragonstone to King's Landing. I wish I could pull this up on our chat right now, but base it's pretty close. Dragonstone to King's Landing
Okay.
is
It's
actually
not that
pretty,
far.
it's not that far, but from King's Landing to Highgarden, holy shit, it's way far. So like Dragonstone and King's Landing are relatively close, but that's even the even weirder part is because Highgarden is like is south, is it's like south south. West, southwest, yeah, west to the left, east to the right, yeah, it's southwest of King's Landing. So basically, Dany would have had to like, what did she just like go around King's Landing, like go around King's Landing, hit Storm's End, and then make her way over to like Westeros? Because basically, they looked like they got hit in between Highgarden and King's Landing. So I don't know, that's a little bit weird to me, but. I don't know. What are you gonna do with
I
this fast
do,
travel?
and I do think that there were parts of the episode. It was a short episode for one.
50 minutes, shortest episode of Game of Thrones of all time.
And there were parts of it that weren't great.
Oh, what?
Yes.
What?
Until you got to the last part of it. The whole battle scene.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just unbelievable. That was incredible. It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. That was amazing. So,
Incredible battle scene. I mean, the first time that we get two like key players, these are like two MVPs battling it out with one another on the same field. No, that was amazing. It was so badass to see that. No, I'm with you. Like, the episode as a whole, like, I loved. I mean, I thought it was phenomenal. I've seen it twice now, and the second time, I was just as glued to my TV screen as I was the first time. Like, it was just that damn good. The only thing to me that just is just annoying to me, like, for me, I could, but I guess I could understand like where you're coming from, because you didn't like the Sansa and Arya reunion as much, like the Bran and Sansa and Arya reunion. That kind of bothered you. No, the only thing that's bothering me really is just like the whole fast travel thing. The fast travel is annoying the shit out of me, and the fact that scouting has apparently become a lost art in the Game of Thrones anymore. Like, where's my scouts at? Because nobody scouted ahead. I mean, Arya made it all the way up to the gates of Winterfell, and then two dum-dums are up there at the gate, and you're like, what the crap? You know, Arya could have just went ch-ch-ch, sliced both of them, and
Oh,
then
yeah.
came in, you know, sliced
I
Sansa's
killed
throat.
everybody.
Yeah, I mean, freaking killed everybody. And then we get the Dothraki and Dany. How the hell are they gonna get the slip on Jaime and all the Lannister army, the Tarly, or the Tarly army? Like, that just is completely crazy to me that, like, because at one point there was like 100,000, you know, Dothraki soldiers. Like, that they like their army's
And
huge.
obviously, you could hear as they were coming up, it sounded like an earthquake
Yeah,
happening. So,
where's the damn scouts at?
yeah, they're not they weren't quiet. They made no effort
No.
to at stealth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that part was a little rough for me, but
But it didn't matter because the battle was
yeah,
glorious. I
it
mean,
was glorious.
it did not matter one bit. I mean, everything about that battle was fantastic. I loved seeing, you know, Dany ride in on Drogon, and she looked like a true badass on
Oh my
top of
God.
Drogon. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was. It was beautiful. And she was shooting daggers out of her eyes,
Oh, yeah, she was.
which I thought was great. Okay, so my big question, is my boy dead?
It did not look good for him at the end of that battle. I loved the moment leading up to that, because it was such an emotional moment for not only for Jaime and Dany, but Tyrion as well. You know, Tyrion having to watch. That was probably one of my favorite things about the battle, was seeing the face that Tyrion was making. You know, just how emotional he got. He didn't think. I don't think he thought he would. You know, the maybe, you know, switching sides he thought was going to be a little bit easier than he originally thought, because he obviously was pained as he watched the Lannister soldiers being burned alive by Drogon, and that the Dothraki dude saying like, "Your men are pussies," basically,
Yeah,
like.
they don't know how to fight. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah, I'm like,
Kiss
bitch,
my
they got
butt.
you got a dragon, bitch.
Yeah,
Like, I mean,
yeah.
let me see you fight the dragon. So,
Exactly. I felt exactly the same way as Tyrion to me, that being on a hilltop and watching this battle and not knowing really who to root for.
yeah, no, I mean, that's why I like the two topics of, is Jaime dead and who are you rooting for? They kind of go hand in hand, because I found myself rooting for Jaime at the end of the day. I don't know why.
No.
Like, it's I feel ashamed, basically, that I was rooting for Jaime. I wasn't rooting for Jaime to kill her. Like, I was not. Like, and I love that moment of hesitation Jaime had as he, you know, he kind of looked at that spear, and he's like, should I do this? Like, you know, am I that
He
person
has
still?
become such a good man.
He has, but he still did it though, and that was a dick. I mean, I understand why he would do it, because, you know, he's just trying to protect his own ass at that point. So it's like, you got to pick that spear up, you got to take the chance, you know, because you see all of your soldiers, all of your men dying, getting burned alive. And I love that I love that whenever Bronn told him to leave, he's like, you're the commander, get back to King's Landing. He's like, no, these are my men. I'm fighting
Right.
with them. I'm dying on this hill, basically. And it was so weird to root for Dany, but then on the other side of the coin, I'm still rooting for Bronn and Jaime. And when Bronn, basically, I thought he was a goner. That one Dothraki dude cut his horse's leg off, and it was
Oh my God, that was
disgusting.
horrible.
Yeah,
That
that
was
was
horrible.
oh, it was. And I mean, I got teary-eyed because I thought that was it for Bronn.
Thinking that he was going to die.
Yeah, and the way that he was running away, because Bronn's a badass. In that moment, especially after that asshole Dothraki dude said, like, your men can't fight, or your people can't fight. I was like, oh, bitch, I'll punch you in the face. But yeah, like seeing Bronn run like that, that kind of hurt me a little bit because, Bronn, he's not scared of anything. He was gonna stand up to the Clegane, but because he's not the Mountain Clegane, but the other Clegane, the Hound. So it was rough watching him run off like that, but it was still epic whenever he got to the Scorpion and shot it at Dany. I didn't want him to hit Drogon. I would have cried if Drogon got killed, and that's why this was such a messed up battle, because I just could not figure out
I know.
who to root for. And then, yeah, like at the very end when we see Bronn with the epic save, like holy crap, Bronn, he deserves all the gold.
Yes, he
He
does.
deserves all the
And the
castles now.
castles.
Yeah, take his ass back to Highgarden, drop him off, and be like, this is your castle now.
Okay, so thank God he saved Jaime, and I'm assuming it was Bronn. That's who I in my notes I wrote down.
Yeah.
But did that water seem like it got a little deep when Jaime hit it?
Again, weird things with the episode. It was like,
So, all right. All right, so we're going to go with that. This is an ocean suddenly. This puddle that was here is now an ocean. But I guess, as he's his that armor that's been protecting him all this time.
Well, where was his plot armor at that point? Because Bronn had all the plot armor in the world. The fact that freaking Drogon burns the Scorpion up and, burns everything around Bronn. Bronn got saved so many times by
Well,
plot
okay,
armor.
now, Drogon didn't burn the scorpion. He smashed it with his tail.
Well, he burned it, then he smashed it, right?
I don't know, but
I thought he burned it. Yeah, because no, he did. He burned it, and then he was like, "Bitch, don't ever use that thing again." And he just like smacked the crap out of it with his tail. But poor Jamie, yeah, the plot armor was not there for him in that moment because yeah, he falls in a puddle that turns into an ocean, and he's got on it. He's got on all his like his armor and that like heavy ass gold hand. I mean that hand's got to weigh like 30 pounds, it seems like. I mean, it's made of pure gold. I don't know if I highly doubt Jamie dies, because I just think that that wouldn't make any sense, to see Jamie die like that. And I love the way that they left off, though. I thought that was such a badass cliffhanger. And again, with the episode being so short, I was like, I thought we were gonna get more, but then it just as he's just floating into the water, it just fades to the credits, and I was like, no, must see what happens to Jamie.
It's too early for Jamie to die, in my opinion. That would be too weak of a death if he did die that way. I mean, it would have been one thing if the dragon would have just melted him. Okay. I could have got that, but I don't know. I'm not ready for him to die. I'm not
Me
ready for Jamie to ever die.
No,
And
I'm
I really honestly did not know who I that's I'm extremely conflicted at this point on who I need to win.
Who are you rooting for in that moment? I mean, I know you love Jamie. That's why
I
we
love
put Jamie's
Jamie.
picture up here. You love so
Yes.
you were rooting for Jamie the entire time.
I really was. I
What
really was.
in that rooting, what did you want out of that? Were you like rooting for him to kill Danny?
No.
No, okay.
I just didn't want him to die.
Yeah, no, I
But okay. But there was a part of me that I wouldn't have been super, super sad had he ran her through with that spear.
What?
I know it's not cool. It's not super cool. But
Direct all those comments towards my mom, people, not to me.
I mean, I just don't want him to die.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want Jamie to die. I would be devastated. I don't think that he's going to die. We get a glimpse into next week's episode, and we see Danny basically saying, "I don't want to kill all of you guys, but if if you bend the knee and
Bend
join
the
me."
knee, bend the
I know, she's
knee.
all about bending that damn knee. It's like somebody told her about bending the knee, and she just like that's her go-to every time, like just bend the knee. Which it's kind of like an it that's like that point that part of Danny that it's that Targaryen, like the Mad King
Oh,
Targaryen side, and
yeah.
and it's just like, oh shit, is this about to come out? We're gonna have to rein Danny in at this point, because there's like even a shot of her riding in on Drogon, like right in front of Jon, like she's gotta bow down to my dragon as I roll back into to Dragonstone. I don't think he's gonna die, but this is the thing. I think that he may have just died inside, because Randall Tarly, he mentions to Jaime right before the battle goes down. He says, all the gold safely through the gates of King's Landing. And we saw Tychos from the Iron Bank having that conversation with Cersei earlier in the episode. And that's all Cersei cares about at this point. She's
I
paying that
know.
debt off.
Yep.
And I just have this ultimate feeling that when she finds out that Jamie's been captured, she's not gonna care. It's kind of like that part of Jamie's damned if he does and damned if he don't, because he's trying to do all these things for her, but I feel like she's not ultimately
That they're
grateful.
not really on the exact on the same team.
No, they're not. And like it's he could have brought her back. Well, actually, I think. So if he would have brought back the Sand Snakes, if he would have brought the Sand Snakes back, I think that that would have maybe got him back on in in Cersei's good graces a little bit more. But the fact that Euron was the one that did it, I think that like further put that wedge between them. And then now like this is like a quote unquote another failure on Jaime's behalf, because she looked at him as the failure of their father, that Jaime's the reason why Tywin Lannister got killed. And that he's the reason that Myrcella got killed, basically. So I think like as much as she boned the crap out of him after she got her little sweet revenge with Alaria, I think she could have easily just as easily boned Euron in that moment, in
Well,
my opinion.
that's why I'm hoping, they fish him out of the water and he joins the forces of good.
Yeah, I think that's gonna
I think
happen.
it's easy to have happen,
No, I.
because we see that he has had these little doubts about Cersei and the fact that she's just kind of crazy. So,
He's had flashes, and I think what's ultimately gonna happen is they're gonna fish him out. Hopefully, Bronn's alive too. I don't want just Jaime to live.
I know.
Bronn was
I'm
like
afraid.
the man. I'm afraid that he died too, because he just had one too many chances to die and didn't die in that moment. And he's got the white horse and comes through and just tackles Jaime as he's about to get Dracarysed. And so what I feel like is gonna happen, they're gonna fish his ass out of the water, and he's gonna send a raven off to Cersei. It's like, Cersei, my beloved. I have been captured by Daenerys, breaker of chains, the unsullied master, blah blah blah, whatever all her credentials are. That's gonna take like some maester like 15 years to write that one Raven scroll. But basically, he's gonna send that off and say that you must bend the knee in order to get me back.
And that's how she's gonna laugh.
and yeah, she's gonna, that's how she's gonna laugh, and then she's gonna send a Raven scroll back, and it's just gonna be Euron's dick. And it's going to be a picture, a drawing
Okay. Oh, yeah. What?
of Euron's penis, and that's it, and that's it. That's what she's going to get. That's what she's going to send back to Jaime, and then Jaime's going to become the hero that we've always wanted him to become, and then he's going to be the one that chokes Cersei out, and then the prophecy will be fulfilled. So,
So there you go.
You like that prediction
I
right
like
there?
it.
Yeah.
I like
I
it.
mean,
As long as he lives, I'm happy.
it's like a sext with a raven scroll, you know? That's
I
like
know, which is weird and difficult and
the
takes a while
Yeah.
to no, be still, damn it,
Yeah,
be still. I'm
come on.
still writing this out. Yeah.
I'm still drawing this. Come on, Euron. Stop for just a second.
I do think Cersei and Euron together, I mean, they're equal crazy. So I think they make a fantastic team. So
Yeah, I think that they would be the perfect team, and they'd be the perfect team to root against because, we see Theon coming in this episode, and which I thought was an amazing reunion because we're on like the reunion train this
Yeah.
season. All these reunions.
Everybody is back together.
Yeah, and it's great. And I thought that that was perfect. I love how whenever Theon first stepped off that little boat, he was kind of like, all right, I made it. I'm alive. I'm gonna get Dany. She can get her dragons. We're gonna go get Yara. She's gonna burn Euron's fleet down. But then he saw Jon, and he's just like, and he said, he goes, "Jon, I didn't know you were here." And then poop meet pants right there in that moment, pretty much. And it was fantastic, and I love how John, just grabbed him, and he's like, if it wasn't for what you did for Sansa, I'd kill you right now. And it was perfect. But that also makes me think that there is gonna have to be this, either Euron and Cersei are gonna have to like completely come together, because I do have a feeling that yeah, in more ways than one, I do have a feeling that Euron is next on the Dany hit list. I feel like she's gonna take Drogon, maybe after he heals up a little bit, maybe take the other dragons, and take them directly after Euron's ships, and burn them down. But if maybe if he, I don't know what Euron's gonna do at this point. I feel like he's kind of played all his hands, and now it's just time for him to die. Like I don't know what else could come of him unless he did make that partnership with Cersei, and because I think Cersei's gonna. In this
She has to
episode,
ha she has to have him at this point. Now that Jamie's gone, she has to have him.
she has to have him, and like the I don't know if a lot of people like will latch onto this, but the fact that she is talking to Tychos about employing the Golden Company, which is apparently I think it's like 10,000 sellswords, so not a huge army, but there's supposedly like some of the badasses of the badass. I think Jorah used to be one of them.
Jorah, he was one of them, and we know
Yeah.
what a badass he is. So,
Yes.
she's going to take out another big loan.
Yes. She
So
paid
she
her
can,
loan off and
yep. Now
back in debt
she,
again.
yep. So she can afford the super fancy killers to send them out. And they're the Golden Company, so I mean, what do they wear? I envision some pretty snazzy armor.
I don't know. I don't know if I envision snazzy armor, but I envision really like true badasses, like the best of the best when it comes to killers. So, the Dothraki, they definitely made quick work of the Lannister men and the Tarly forces. But again, I don't put that to the fact that the Dothraki were just that badass. I put a lot of that onus on the fact that they had a freaking dragon that was burning the crap. I mean, they've never
Yeah.
seen a dragon before. You see that
Yes. And
dragon,
when
your
you see
pants are
it,
pooped.
it comes in and it's just burning that line of wagons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean you're going to be terrified. Of course you're suddenly going to forget how to ride a horse and how to fight and yeah.
Yeah, because we saw how well trained and well prepared the Westeros armies can be against like wildlings, and which the
Yeah.
Dothraki are obviously more skilled than the wildling armies. I mean, those are not like trained forces or anything, but still, like they would have battle styles that would throw off the Dothraki for sure. There's
Right,
no doubt about it. And that whole battle to me, it was great. It was so badass seeing the Dothraki come in on their horses and slice people's heads off and everything. It was quite the excellent battle. I'm curious to see like If Cersei basically writes Jaime off and says, "Well, I've got the Golden Company now and Euron's fleet, that's going to be my main army." But then, even if she does that, she's basically contradicting herself, because that was their whole way to get the Tarleys on board and to get the other lords of Westeros on board, was because they kept saying Dany was using this foreign, force.
Exactly, exactly. But she didn't care about that. I mean, it's like every other politician. The argument sounds great when they're saying it, but it doesn't matter when they turn right around and do the exact same thing that they said that, the other one was doing. So, yeah, that's it. An interesting point, because I'd forgotten about that.
So I think topic number four was, it was, did Dany just bitch slap Cersei's rule over Westeros? I don't think so. I don't. I feel like Cersei is quite cunning, and she didn't have a whole lot to do in this episode. But it's crazy to me to see she's already a chess move ahead. She's already kind of, in my eyes, she's not writing Jaime off. Like, I think Jaime's just there as like a little bit of an extra thing. And she's already making deals to get the company to come in, the Golden Company to come in. So I think it's obviously going to hurt. She's going to be pissed off, even if her and Jamie don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. I definitely think that she does love Jamie, but
Of
there's
course she
something
does.
there's but there's again there's still there's
She
something
loves
weird there.
herself. She loves herself more than anybody and anything. I mean, we saw that with her own children. I used to get in arguments all the time with people about Cersei and her children, that, oh, she would do anything for them. Well, no, Cersei would do anything for Cersei. So
Well, it's back to that whole, like, oh, we're gonna say?
I was just going to say, I mean, she'll miss Jaime, but she'll replace him.
I kind of feel that same way. I don't know. Maybe we're wrong, and maybe she will, go ballistic whenever she finds out
Maybe.
that Jamie has been either killed or captured. And that's the point where she kind of goes like season six Cersei and just burns everything to the ground once again. That's what I like about Game of Thrones so much. We were talking about topic number two, which is, who were you rooting for? At one point, Cersei was in that gray area as well, like a lot of our characters on Game of Thrones, because you were talking
I
about
still
that.
love her.
Yeah, no, I know, and that's like the weird thing is, there's not typically just a good and an evil on Game of Thrones. There's this middle ground that a lot of our characters play in. Jaime's played in it quite a lot. Cersei's been one of those where she's like so evil in some instances. I think that the this like the most egregious thing that she ever did was just the other than obviously killing everybody at the end of season six, but like how she treated Tyrion. Because Tyrion had love for her kids, even Joffrey. Like, he could have plotted to kill Joffrey numerous times, but he didn't. He still like he hated Joffrey, but it was still Cersei's kid, and she still like kind of respected that. So
It now at least Jamie's not going to have to tell her that it was Lady Olenna
I
that killed
know.
Joffrey.
Danny
and
just
he's like, oh,
totally.
thank God I don't have to tell her that one.
That's true. I think Olenna would've been pissed though, because Danny just cock blocked the crap out of her vengeance on Cersei. Like, unless somebody got that like in on a raven or something, which obviously Jaime's not gonna like send that on a raven. Like, oh, by the way, Lady Olenna, she was the one responsible for killing Joffrey. Yeah, that's never gonna happen. But man, what an episode! Like, I'm still thinking about everything that went down. There was a lot of things, and I'm trying to think. Like, I want to make sure we covered off on everything. I feel like we did. For the most part, I don't think I have anything else that
No,
I mean,
I think we did.
yeah, I think we covered off on quite a few of the topics. I mean, it was just a great episode. So I guess to close out close out topic number four, did you think that she bitch slapped Cersei's rule over Westeros, or are you like me where you think Cersei's just like on to the next one?
I feel like no, I it was a good move, but it wasn't the end all move.
Yeah.
So
I'm with you. And I don't know why Dani burned all the, like, she blew up all the supplies. She burned them all down. Like, she had just talked about earlier that Cersei had hoarded all of the
right.
supplies and all the
And that
food.
could come back to bite her when she's trying to get people to get on her side.
Yeah.
Well, when you just effectively have starved all those people, I that could really bite her in the butt later.
Yeah,
So
I
I
agree.
think that could be a really bad move.
A butt
So,
biter right there.
a butt biter, exactly.
Definitely, definitely a butt biter. All right, so what do you give this episode? Like, I mean, out of 5 bacons, how many bacons do you give this? And I wanted to point out, I don't think that she's in the chat right now, but I know that we had a really great
We had
comment.
an awesome bacon score that was given.
Yes,
It was from Tammy, wasn't it?
from Tammy. Let me see what.
Tammy Denise, and I can't remember Tammy's last name, but I can remember what she said.
Oh, well, I've got it right here. Do you remember the
Okay.
end? What?
I 5 bacons.
Yep, 5 bacons.
2 blueberry cheesecake muffins, something like that.
Yeah, you're like, I remember exactly what it was. Blueberry cheesecake muffins. Man, that sounds kind of good.
It sounds good,
I've
doesn't
never
it?
heard of that before. Blueberry cheesecake muffins. She said 5 extra crispy bacons with 2 blueberries, lemon curd pancakes, and the perfect cup of coffee Sunday after
Oh.
church at brunch.
Oh,
Man,
dang.
yeah, she
I
gave
think
that.
she loved it.
She loved it quite a bit. Oh, I wanted to get Brenda's comment. Dani was taking a great risk in the attack. She almost got one of her dragons killed and almost herself.
I think that Danny knew that that was going to be something that could happen. I mean, when you go into battle
Yeah.
and you do it yourself, I mean, obviously the dragons are a target. And if you're riding one of those targets, there's a possibility that you're going to die. So,
Can we get her some armor? I mean, a little bit, some armor,
yeah.
maybe a helmet at the very
Instead of
least. You have to
her
wear a helmet to ride a bicycle sometimes.
perfect hair and her outfits have gotten better and better and better.
Well,
And
don't you?
she looked beautiful.
She did. Don't you love how, like, Cersei and Dany's outfits have been on point the last two
Yes, they have.
seasons? Like,
But Cersei's hair has not been good
you don't
ever
like the short
since.
hair?
I love short hair, and she could wear anything.
Yeah.
She could be bald, but it's a little bowl cutish. I mean, just I just want to let me just
Oh,
move it,
I'm completely with you as far as I love Cersei with the long hair. Like, I go
Yes.
back a couple of seasons
I
and I'm
know.
just
My
like,
God.
damn, you're beautiful.
I know. Hot.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it suits her in the sense of it's like she's cutting like some of those shackles away. Now she can be
Yes.
as evil as she wants to be.
But did it change color to you?
Yeah, it did change color to me a little bit
Yeah,
as
I mean, it
well.
used to be it was blonder. Now it's a little
It's
reddish.
like fire red now. Like
Yeah.
it's
Something weird's going on there. I mean, she decided to do the hair by herself. We know that sometimes this happens when you do
It
these things in the
does.
bathroom. So
It does happen. Brenda said that short hair wig is not good.
it's not good.
I mean, I don't mind it, but I'm with you guys. Like, I definitely like the longer hair and everything, but her outfits have been
Oh,
immaculately
I know.
badass. Like, and I do like the fact that both of them, their outfit game has been stepped up. Sansa as well. Like, Sansa's I noticed her outfit in this episode, and I was like, oh, she looks pretty badass.
She's got that very interesting chain that she's wearing. So now if they can just do something with Winterfell as a whole
Winterfell's
to
still a
make
dump.
it's a dump. It's so bad.
Is a dump. But the north is huge. Like, when I was talking about the maps of Westeros earlier, you don't realize, I mean, freaking the north is ginormous. It is massive. So there's going to be a lot of land to cover for all of our northern bannermen, because whenever the Night King and the White Walkers and the whites come down, it's gonna be intense, and I cannot wait for it to happen. I will say that whenever what Brenda was saying about Danny taking a great risk in the attack, I did love that moment. Whenever, because that was a part of the synopsis, Daenerys weighs her options. Again, she has that moment with Tyrion where she questions his loyalty, and that was why that moment in the battle was so good. When you see just how devastated Tyrion was watching that, but yet he was still there on Daenerys' side, like
I
right
know.
there in the thick of things in the battle, destroying his own men. Which to me, it's like never question Tyrion again, Danny. Like
No.
that's
And
out of question of possibilities.
she questioned him, but I don't really think she was seriously mad at him.
I think it was warranted. There was no doubt that it was
Yes.
warranted. There's been other YouTube videos and stuff saying like, is Tyrion the mole? Like, is he leaking out? Is that why Cersei's been one step ahead of Dany and all of her plans? I never once thought that because
No.
Tyrion at one point respected Cersei and loved her as his sister, even though she was quite a biatch to him. But that was just all thrown out the window whenever Joffrey died, and she, just blatantly accused him of being the one to murder Joffrey, and after she like had tried to have him murdered. So I think that was gone. Like, Tyrion, doesn't care about that anymore. So I
So I'm going
lost.
to get my bacon score.
Yeah, what's your bacon score?
Five bacons.
Five bacons.
Was that a surprise? Oh yeah, and
No.
I think it should be extra crispy. I mean, given the fact that there were so many
Extra crispy Lannisters.
crispy Lannisters, so yeah.
Yeah, no, there was lots of crispy Lannisters. I'm with you. This is a five bacon episode to me. It was fantastic. And I'd briefly forgot what I was going to mention about the Danny and weighing her options. I love that moment. Again, this is another reason why this episode was a five bacon episode is whenever John. He tells her basically that I wrote it down, but I don't remember exactly what it was. So I'll just paraphrase. He basically said that you'll be just like all of the rest if you go in and burn castles and people alive in order to rule the Iron Throne. And I love that, whenever he said that, it clicked. It really, really clicked for Danny in that moment. And I love that. I think that they work really well together
I think they do
as a
too.
team. Maybe not as a couple, but as a team, they definitely work
I
well
guess we'll
together.
find out.
Yeah, we will find out. But yeah, 5 out of 5 bacons for me. Fantastic episode. I thought it was just it was one of the best because it had that epic battle at the end, but then it had all that stuff from like earlier seasons with all the like kind of behind the scenes, like what's the mind games, who's playing this, who's playing that, like what's going on here, like the political part of it, I thought was fantastic. All the reunions were great. Yeah, it was a fantastic episode all around. So there you go, five bacons from both of us. I want to have a discussion at some point this season. We'll see what's to come. If this episode can be topped, I think it's going to be topped, and I think it could possibly be happening in next week's episode because I see a battle coming in the north fairly shortly, which I'm very sad about because I just, we've had some victories for the good guys, and we've had some victories for the bad guys, but we haven't had like that blow from the. For the good guys, it really hurt. Because for us, the Sand Snakes, they didn't do anything for us. So that was
I
not
know, we're
like,
like,
that was not really,
whatever.
yeah, that was not really a sad moment. But I feel like the rug being pulled out from underneath us in the next couple of weeks' episodes. So it's going to be rough. But we want to know you guys' thoughts. So let us know. If you're watching this on YouTube, just put your thoughts in the comment box down below. If you are listening to this on podcast services, you can email us. It's rantpocalypse@gmail.com. We would love for you to be a part of our Facebook Live review discussions of Game of Thrones each and every Monday night. We typically do it around 7-ish, somewhere around there. But yeah, we would love that. And we'd also love for you to rate and review us on iTunes. That helps other people find us because there's lots of Game of Thrones podcasts out there. We won't only be covering Game of Thrones. We'll get back into Fear of the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead and all that stuff on this podcast. So we would love for you to rate and review us. And if you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/rantpocalypse and be awesome like Robin, because Robin is awesome.
Robin is awesome.
Yeah, and we want to get more patrons, and we're going to do lots of different reward tiers on there here shortly. So I think you'll like some of the tiers that we're going to put on there. There'll be lots of fun, lots of insider stuff on our Patreon. So thanks so much for joining us and hanging out here for our recap for the Spoils of War.
It's a good episode. Can't wait till next week.
I know. I can't either. It's too long. It's too long. Got to figure out what the hell happened with Jamie. He better not be dead.
No, he better not be.
My mom's
riot. I will be so pissed off.
No more Game of Thrones.
I'll be done with Game of Thrones. No Jamie, no Kelly watching Game of Thrones.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen, because I know HBO, they're like, all right, we can't lose Kelly. We can't lose him. He's a very valuable viewer. All right, thank you guys. Have a nice week.
Bye.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need. Share with you my story. Would you share your dollar with me? Bad times are coming and I'm